Well, praise the Lord. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And to start off the morning with such a wonderful time of prayer, I think it is amazing. Hallelujah. To just be in His presence. Could somebody raise this up a little bit? When you are past 70, your eyes are not so good. I think that will be fine. Yeah, thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Just a little bit about ourselves. I have not always been in the ministry. I worked for about 20 years. In the Air Force, I left as a commanding officer. I resigned to go into full-time ministry. Actually, I had a calling very early in my life, but because of family situation, my father retired very early because of ill health, and I had to kind of go into working life quite early. But the call was still there, burning. And one day God says, you know, I was already a commanding officer, I was a major in the Air Force, and enjoying my life. We had a condominium, we had three children, and everything was going on fine, you know, until one day God says, you have to step out back into the ministry. So I told my wife, I said, I'm quitting my job and I'm going back into ministry. And it shocked her, actually. and she initially thought I was joking, but then I was serious. So, well, we went into ministry, and I've been pastoring for about 25 years. Had been pastoring. I've already left that full-time ministry, and I've gone into itinerant ministry to keep myself on my toes, you know. Wherever there's opportunity, I go and minister. But I had the privilege of ministering to about 35 churches in the Philippines. I was their mentor. It's like a denomination. About 35 churches with about 40 to 50 pastors, you know. Sometimes husband and wife are both pastors. So had that for many years, about 15 years I'd been there until COVID came in, so I had to stop. So it's been a wonderful ride, praise God. And it's such a privilege to be here to be with you this morning. Do you know, coincidentally, my message is entitled His Presence. I don't know what it means to you, but it means a lot to me, because I came in here and you were singing about His presence and worshiping Him, and the Lord did something for me, you know. I'm using Genesis 3:8 as a jump-off text. And Genesis 3:8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. My apologies, I said nothing about my wife. And that is dangerous. she has been working all her life, actually. She was in a bank. I won't call her a banker, but she was a bank officer. that's her life there. But when I went into pastorship, she came alongside. And although she was working, she was running alongside. We went into ministry after she retired. We went into ministry in the Philippines, and she was right there with me. And of course, she raised up our three sons. three sons. My eldest son is 47, going 48. He's a young man. And the other one is 44, going 45. And my youngest son is 41, going 42. Youngest. As a matter of fact, we are here because my youngest son is taking over a church in the city, New Life City Church. Pastor Yatwan is outgoing pastor, and he's taking over as the senior pastor. He's been here about 1.5 years already. So we thank God for another generation that is spawned off, you know. Okay, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. It's wonderful to know from the beginning of creation that God desired to come down and walk with man. And, you know, he wanted to be present with us. You don't have to cry out for the presence of God because God wants to be with you. And that was showed from the beginning of creation. And to me, that is wonderful because the presence of the Lord came down and walked with them. But, of course, they have to spoil the whole thing, isn't it? And we know that from the beginning of human history, they changed the whole narrative, isn't it? God wanted something different, but they had to sin, and because of sin came in, they were actually forced to leave the Garden of Eden. Sin causes, actually we literally force out the presence of God in our life, and that's something that I want you to bear in mind. It's so easy for us to lose the presence of God. And I'm going to speak a bit negatively in the beginning because, unfortunately, today Christians can choose to live without the presence of God. I mean, you can go to church, you can get involved, and there are people sometimes being paid to play music but whose lives are not right. Do you know what I mean? People who come and sing in the church to lead the worship whose lives are not right. And I hear that and I'm very sad, actually, very sad. Because from what I know is when your heart is right with God, you stand in front and you lead the people. If your heart is not right, you better not be there. Because I don't want to trifle with the presence of God. You know, it's a dangerous place to be in. So what if you could choose to live without God's presence? What can happen? Now, I just want to share a story about Eli. Eli was the high priest in Israel at this time in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And he had two sons, and it is said of his sons, you know, he was a high priest and he was the judge at that same time because they had no king over Israel. And his two sons were priests. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, I'm reading the Message version. He says, Eli's own sons were a bad lot. They didn't know God and could not have cared less about the customs of priests among the people. Basically, they were eating choice portions of animal sacrifice, which were meant for sacrifice to God. You know, what was meant for God, they took it. It's like, I shall not have it. They were, and not only that, they were actually sleeping with women who assisted at the entrance to the tabernacle. And priests, mind you, the sons of Eli. And we need to realize that you may be a godly person, but you also have to guard the next generation, your own children. We have 7 grandchildren, and Alice and I pray every morning that God will watch over these 7 grandchildren. Our children have grown up, they have their own wives, and we pray for them, but we also pray for the following generation, because things can go wrong so easily because of the environment we are in. And today, sin is rampant. It's a growing thing. And you don't know how. Sometimes I hear them since we arrived in Australia, and some of the things my grandchildren are talking about, something they hear from their fellow students, it's very shocking for me, you know. Questions that they are asking and things they are talking about at such a very young age. But here were two sons of the high priest who were priests themselves, and they were misbehaving. They were not living for God. And he was not doing anything. You look at verse 22 to 25. It says, now Eli was a very old man, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. He knew it. Eli said to them, I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father. You see, when you don't correct your children when they are younger, when they are older, it's difficult. It's very difficult. It's like, you know, Lot trying to warn his daughters and son-in-laws about judgment that was coming. They thought he was joking. Maybe he had been joking all the while. Don't joke about the second coming of Christ. You better not. Because when the time comes, they have to be ready. And when you warn them, you know, they have to listen. Because otherwise we'll lose them. We'll lose them. And here was a man who spoke to his children, warned them. But he was the high priest. And he had the power, isn't it? He had the power. He was also the judge. He could have removed them. You see, sometimes we all protect our family. Yeah, many of us do. When they are sinning, we also protect them. I'm not saying for the flimsiest excuse, you remove them. But there comes a time where a decision has to be made. If you are in that position of power, you have to take action. Because otherwise, some judgment can fall upon them, and that's even worse, isn't it? And here Eli did not do very much, and judgment was inevitable. It would come. Because in those days, there was no grace, you know. It's judgment. When you sin, there is judgment, right? Today, we are living in an age of grace, but I think we must not take it for granted, because whatever we sow, we reap, isn't it? Yeah? So there is that reaping part that sometimes people don't think. What is the reaping part? Is when you sow to sin, you definitely will reap as judgment, you know? And you cannot just ignore it. Now, so judgment was at the doorstep. Because what happened was, in those days, they went to war, right? And every now and then there will be a war. And this was the war with the Philistines. And when they went to war, they thought everything was all right. Now, it's okay to live any way you want. But then when they went to war, in 1 Samuel 4:10, so the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Mind you, 30,000 foot soldiers were just wiped out. And those days, they did not have a great army. You look at what's happening in Russia today. I mean, they can lose 10,000 soldiers and they are still all right. Oh, 50,000 soldiers, you know, there's a lot more to come. But in those days, their armies were smaller to defend themselves. So to lose 30,000 is a lot. And for nation of Israel, who is proud to know that the Almighty God is on your side, and for them to lose a battle and lose so many people. And more than that, besides that, you find they lost the Ark of God. The Ark of God was captured by the Philistines. You know, that to me is terrible. Eli's two sons, both of them, Hophni and Phinehas, both died. Both were killed. Eli heard the news. Now, I don't think it was judgment upon Eli, but you can look either way. But he was 98 years old. I think the news was too shocking for him, and our friend probably had a heart attack and dropped down and died, you know. Eli died. Two sons died. Eli died. And Phinehas' wife was pregnant. And on hearing the tragedy of her husband's death, she gave birth. That means premature delivery. And she died. She also died. So actually the whole family, except for the baby, was spared. You know, when they sin, we lose the presence of God. It's something that we must guard. In our life, we must make sure that sin does not rule. And it's so easy for sin to come in. You know, you have anger against somebody and sin comes in. You know, and that can lead to all kinds of things, hatred and bitterness. And those of us who are married, we have to be very careful. Because we live in close proximity, and we sometimes it's the small things, isn't it? It's the little foxes that spoileth the vine. You know, the little things in our life that create irritations, and we get angry, and we don't want to talk to each other for a few days. I hope it's not. You know, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So before the day is over, please settle it. Huh? I'm talking to Christians. Before the day is over, please settle it. And that must be the way in our life. And we need to influence our family in the same way. Now, when we look at Adam and Eve, when they allowed sin to come into their life, they were literally chased out of the garden. You know? They were chased out. And they had to go and till the land and survive. No more free provision. Sometimes we live with parents and there's always free things, isn't it? Children always want to live with parents. Free accommodation, free food, free everything, you know. And they had it good, Adam and Eve. Everything was provided in the garden. But when they sinned, God says, Nama, I pulled the carpet off you. You know, all your privileges are gone. Now you got to go and work hard. Work hard to get what you want. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. For all of us, everyone are sinners. And we are now returning back to the Father. And because of Jesus, we can do that. He has paid that price. Amen. Hallelujah. And we are returning to the Father. And we have that privilege. But going back to Psalm 66, verse 18, David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We have that grace. We want that grace from Jesus so that we can be come into the presence of the Almighty. But then the warning is, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We can shout all we want. We can praise all we want. But as long as that sin is harboring inside of us, either in our head or inside of our innermost being, you find God will not hear you. And we want to be in that presence. It's going to be difficult to get there. And we have to always deal with sin in our life. And Eli's two sons never dealt with sin in their life. You know, they were on a free ride, thinking probably that, you know, sometimes parents are good Christians and children want to ride on the coattails of the parents and hoping that because my mother and my father is so holy, I will get in somehow. Yeah, father was a high priest, right? So these two sons thinking, I'm going to have a free ride. But they didn't know that it's going to end so quickly. We always think, you know, one of the driving force in my life, in my life was this thought that, what if I die before my parents? You know, before I became a Christian, my parents were Hindus, and I was a bit fearful. You know, I was a 15-year-old when I came to know the Lord, and I was afraid to tell them that I want to be a Christian. I was the first in my family, embrace Christianity, or embrace Christ rather, not Christianity, Christ. And I wanted to tell them, but I was afraid, you know. The thought was always in my until I'm older or after my parents have passed on. And some people have suggested, you know, you can be a Christian when your parents have passed on. I said, what if I die first? You know, I got to face God. And a lot of young people don't think of this, that they always think the older people will die first, but older people have long life. Hallelujah. God has given us long life for many reasons. But we always have to bear in mind that, you know, life is uncertain. And you know, the wife of Phinehas, before she died, she named her son. She called him Ichabod. And that means the glory of God has departed Israel. Oh, what a terrible thing. We don't want to pronounce Ichabod on the church or on our family, because sometimes it can appear that way when you just reach a point when there's so much sin present and you pray and you cry before God, and yet there's no breakthrough. Do you understand what I mean? And we need to pray that God will tear down strongholds. If you see strongholds in your family or in your children or grandchildren, you need to pray God tear down those strongholds. You need to pray that God will break, the bondages that they are in. Whatever it be, you need to pray, because otherwise you feel like, you know, the glory has departed. We don't want that to happen. We want the presence of God. What is the purpose of the presence of God? There must be a purpose. Why do you want the presence of God? I think many of you know about it because you've been crying out to God. But I feel that on the exciting side, we want to experience miracles. We want to experience healing. We want direction to be given to us. That's the exciting part, isn't it? right? That's why you want to be in the presence of God. But I think that the real thing is to fellowship with God. It's the fellowship with God. I mean, it's like, you know, when I knew my wife and we were courting, I was not thinking of, oh, when I marry her, we can go on holidays, we can go and visit many places and have fun and do skydiving, you know. I don't know when. I know some couples think about it now. They generally have an enjoyable life before they think of starting a family, you know. But when we got married, it's a real thing. It's to spend time together, you know, to build a life together, to enjoy each other's company, and to build a family, you know, and more time together, because you have small families, you have to spend a lot of time together. I remember when we got married, we went for a very short honeymoon, I think like 2 or 3 days, I can't remember. Can you remember? 3 days, probably, because of traveling and all that. Went to Malaysia, from Singapore to Malaysia for our honeymoon, you know. Short one, and then came back and carried on with life, you know. And then the children came, you know, and all that. It was not until about maybe 6 to 8 years later, that we went on a proper honeymoon. Can you imagine that? No. But anyway. But you see, what we wanted was that fellowship. To be in the presence, to have that fellowship, to build something together. And I believe this is what God wants. God wants that fellowship with us, to be with us. That's why he came and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And he wants to do that for us. He wants us to enjoy that deep presence. And you don't have to have a lot of sound. You don't have to have, I'm not against sound. I like music, you know, I like worship. But sometimes you need to walk in the garden. There was no music there except the crickets buzzing, you know. I mean, he walked in the garden with them where there was quiet. And there are a lot of places here that's quiet. Go and walk where the Aborigines walk, and it's very quiet, isn't it? We had the privilege of doing the Aborigine trail. And there was not a soul around. Right? And that's a good time where you can really talk to God. You can fellowship with him. Get lost a bit, never mind. But, you know, just carry on the trail. It'll bring you out somewhere. But the fellowship is important. A.W. Tozer said this: I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. What those very strong words. You know, if you are bored of worship, you know, sometimes there are people who come to church, they say, I don't like worship. I only come for the word. Have you ever heard of people like that? The word, the most important. But worship, is that good? I can't take worship. It doesn't matter whether you have a good voice or a bad voice. When you sing to God, it is lovely. Isn't it? I mean, sometimes we think we must have... I know there are a lot of people who can't sing in tune. Doesn't matter. Just sing in a congregation, especially. Sing out loud. Nobody knows the difference anyway. Hallelujah. But you are singing to God, amen. You're worshiping Him, and you know, the presence of God will come upon you as you just release. We cannot come to church and be inhibited. We need to be liberated. Hallelujah. In His presence. Praise God. And just go and flow with what God wants to do in our life. Thirdly, to seek the face of God. And we want to be in the presence to seek the face of God. You look at Moses, right? Moses kept going up to the mountain, and he had a special place where he sought God, and he was seeking God. Now, imagine Moses had a problem, you know? He had about more than a million people, some say 3 million people, that came out of Egypt. That's a lot. Instantaneously, you are supposed to be the governor, the president, or whatever, of this country, or prime minister. That's what he was. You think about 1 million people. You have what? 2 million people in Western Australia? 2 million? Yeah. That's already a lot of people. Can you imagine these 2 million people came out of Egypt? You have all the infrastructure here to govern, you know. Moses had nothing. And every day he had to seek the presence of God. Why do you think he had to go up so often to meet God? Because he needed wisdom, he needed help, he needed direction, you know, to govern these people. It needs a spiritual aspect, and he needed the ability to govern, and sometimes it was very frustrating, you know. That's why when you see him throw down the tablets of stone, he was really frustrated. It was not a good thing for him to do, you know. But we need to be in the presence, and some of you have gone larger responsibilities than others. And you need to be in the presence of God to receive wisdom and help and direction and understanding about what you need to do. And sometimes you throw up your hands and say, I don't know. I don't know how to handle my child, my son who is a teenager and he's going wild. You know, what to do? And you need to pray. You need to come into the presence of God and stop talking and do more listening. Sometimes we think we come into the presence of God, we can talk, and tell God everything that He knows. He knows all about your life. He needs you to listen, to be in His presence. That's why I say you need to go to the Aboriginal trail and just be quiet. And listen to what God is saying. And we will hear. Fourthly, we need to receive edification and encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Amen? To be in His presence. We need self-edification, personal edification. That there are nobody comes to you, especially your pastor. Not many of you come and give him edification, do they? No. You know, being a pastor is a lonely job. You knew that, right? No, when you are in trouble, you call pastor, come and help me, counsel me, you know. I have this problem, you know. Can we have a meeting? Can we have a lunch, you know? But when pastor has a problem, who does he talk to? Sometimes there's no one. It's a very lonely job. Okay? I've been there, so I know. It's a lonely job. And the problems stops at you. And you have to solve. So you need to go upward. You need to be in His presence. More so. More problems means more often in the presence of God. And you need that personal edification. You need the strengthening of the inner man. And that applies to all of us, you know. There are weaknesses in us that we sometimes don't know of. And how can I overcome? How can I fight the battles that I have to fight? And we are all fighting the battles because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The more you think you are spiritual, the more you can come under fire. You see? And you need to really come into the presence of God and be equipped and strengthened in the inner man so that you do not fall under pressure. You know, there will be a lot of outside force. There will be the enemies of your soul. There will be Satan. There will be demons that will attack you. There will be times even in your sleep you have problems, you know. And you suddenly wake up with a nightmare. But you really need to call upon the Lord. Every time you feel, even you feel an attack while you are asleep, you can call upon the name of Jesus. And the presence of God is there. Hallelujah. And you will be a victor. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we need to have edification for the body of Christ. All of us are involved in building up the body of Christ. We need revelations. We need discernments. Amen. We need a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. We need tongues and interpretation of tongues to come forth from the body so that this body can be encouraged and built and strengthened, you know, for the glory of God. Hallelujah. How is it going to come? You need to spend time in the presence of God. Just being in church is not enough. It's in your private time where you take time and say, God, I want to spend time with you so that I can receive something and I can bring to the table. Amen. And encourage my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. The exercise of the gifts of healing and miracles and deliverance come as you lay hands upon people. Amen. As you speak the word. Hallelujah. It's you. You have to come into the presence of God. He's not just going to appear, but he's going to work through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. How do we enter into the presence of God? I believe you did it very well a while ago. But firstly, it's by the cross. We can never come into the presence of God any other way. It's by the cross of Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was severed in two, ushering us into the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. And because of that, we can enjoy the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is by the cross, and we just took communion that was ushering us into the presence of the Almighty. Secondly, we need to consistently seek His face. Seek His face as often as you can. You know, spend time, more and more time. While we are here in Australia, my wife and I have been going on walks, sometimes 1.5 hours in the morning, and that is our prayer walk. And we are praying and crying out to God as we leave about 6 o'clock in the morning to do our walk. And sometimes it's like 13 degrees or 14 degrees, and the wind is blowing about 15, and it is cold. But the challenge is to get out there and to begin to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. First thing in the morning, before even it is daylight, we are out there. I tell you, it will change your life. It will change your life, change your perspective, and it will do a deep work within you. There will be a transformative work. Seek the face of God constantly. Hallelujah. Thirdly, enter to praise. Entering into praise and thanksgiving. Hope we got it right. praising Him Thanksgiving and worship, they all go together. Psalms 100 says, come before his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise and happy songs. Come before him with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. I mean, this is what you need, right? I mean, I entered here, even out in the corridor, I was so overjoyed because this is exactly what you all are doing. Entering into his presence, hallelujah, with singing and with joyful noise, with happy songs, with gladness, with thanksgiving, with praise. Praise God. And the fourth thing is to magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. I think in Psalms 40 verse 16, he says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. Basically, make him bigger, great, bigger than your problem. We all have difficulties in our lives. Struggles we have, many. But we are to make God bigger. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think of. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's able to do that. And he's far greater than your problem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord. I'll conclude with this. How do we bring back the glory and presence of God into our lives if we have lost it? I have lost it. We want it back, isn't it? Actually, straightforward. do a heart search, like David. You know, he says in Psalms 139, 23, 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to look into our heart and see whether there are offensive things in our life. Because that's the blockage. Huh? That's the blockage. If we leave it there, we'll get a heart attack. So we really need to look into our heart. And the Holy Spirit will shine into us and reveal things to us. And we need to be aware that this he can do if we so desire. Amen. Hallelujah. Secondly, we need to repent. Repent. Make an about turn in life and lifestyle. And sometimes when you are older, it's a bit difficult, but it's not impossible. There must be a deliberate decision on our side that I want to change. I want to make an about turn. I cannot continue in the ways of the world and expect to be in the presence of God. I need to depart from it. I need to get out of where I used to be and to be where God wants me to be. Hallelujah. And get rid of the old life or lifestyle. Hallelujah. Sometimes there's anger inside of us. Sometimes something twisted is there, you know. Bitterness, perversion, wrong motive. I don't know what. Something could be there. And you really need to ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light and reveal to us what needs to be get rid of. It's like cancer, you know, that is there and you need to take it out. Take out the cancer, and that spiritual cancer in our lives need to be taken out. And the Holy Spirit is the one that can do it and bring healing into our life. And thirdly, I say, seek God. Fellowship with him again. Hallelujah. There must be this desire. Worship is enjoying the presence of God. So praising him and adoring him, magnify him. If you are not a singer, then I'm sure today the modern technology can provide, YouTube can provide you with millions of songs. If you want hymns, they will provide you with him, and it's free of charge. You don't have to. Spotify, or whatever, you know. All these are music channels that you can use them. They are provided by the world, and they are channels for us, isn't it? I still have some of my old CDs loaded into my phone, and I still enjoy them, you know. So if you're not a good singer, find these ways and just rip it off when you're at home, you know, and enjoy the presence of God. Really, my youngest grandson, who is 5 years old, I tell you, brought joy to our hearts many times. He will go to the bathroom to shower, and he will start singing. And recently, I found him in the toilet, and he was singing in the toilet. You know something? When you start off worshiping God at such a young age, you know, it's in your DNA. It's in your DNA. And we need to really get where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Seek Him. And I just want to emphasize, yearn to be in His presence. Not just want to, yearn to be in His presence. Don't be satisfied with just being in church or doing church work. You know, sometimes we are so happy, I did ushering today, you know, or, I was there to be, to handle the camera. Sorry. I didn't know you were sitting there. But sometimes we are quite happy with just doing some of this. But the real thing is yearning to be in His presence. Oh, yearn for it. And I tell you, God is going to do something deep in your life. I know when I came in here, you were already on track. But He's going to take you deeper, deeper into His presence. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for my brothers and sisters. Thank You, Father, for the way You are ministering to them. Lord, I pray, O God, that something good will surely happen in each one of their lives, in every family. Father, I pray for a wonderful outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, leading them into Your holy presence. O God, hallelujah. Father, today at this very moment, we yield to You, O God, and we say, God, come down and pour Yourself into us, Lord, that we can be lost in Your presence for hours and hours, O God, without any worry. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for we know that in Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, it will all be poured out upon every one of us. Hallelujah. Bless everyone here, their children and their grandchildren. Oh, Lord, pour them out wonderful blessings, and may Your presence be visible in every one of their homes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.